Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lagerman, and Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Kerry Limousine, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, live from the broadcast studio, Jaguars Central, at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, Jeff Lagerman, Joe Fortunato, John Denny, all here this evening for 2 hours of NFL fun. How are you?
I'm fine.
How was your weekend, besides the obvious gashes on your hand there?
I painted all weekend.
Yeah, it looks like it. You know, did you paint with your hand?
Yeah, and my feet, and my head, and other parts of my body. Everything got paint over it. I started on Thursday morning when everyone left the house to go to work. I took 2 days off. Started at 7:30 in the morning, and I'm telling you,
did you get a quote from anybody on what it would cost to do that?
And no, you know why?
Have you factored in how much you might have saved?
Last time I did that, it didn't go well.
Okay.
Didn't go very well for you this time either. Look at your hands.
I know, it's bad.
My goodness.
Just thinking you could have been on the golf course.
He's got scabs from his pinky knuckle, and I'm not talking on the hand, but I'm talking on the fingers, the big knuckle on the fingers, all the way across to the pointing finger, right?
Yeah,
let me see.
Much.
Turn that sideways. He's got three of the four fingers. And a little scrape on the fourth.
Where'd you
learn how to paint?
Hey, listen, I did a pretty good job. I really did.
What color?
White.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So you can't screw that up, yeah.
No, because I wasn't going to get a color up there. And I don't like that. No. That wall's done.
No matter what. Loggy, you were in the woods. So you don't look even remotely beat up.
No.
No, I actually am fresh. Didn't cut my fingers at all.
You
didn't
get shot either, did you?
No. No,
nope.
It was a good week.
All right.
It was a very good week.
Joe, what'd you do?
Did
you go to a car show somewhere?
No, I went down to Daytona for a little bit. Got a room looking at the ocean and sat there and looked at the ocean.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
Did you take your wife?
Folks, that's the kind of show we've got planned for you this evening, which is to say it's off the cuff the way.
You can take them places?
Hey, she didn't ask.
Hey, folks, there are some tickets available for Sunday's AFC South Division Showdown with the Houston Texans. Call 633-2000, visit jaguars.com today. You can do a flex pack with three of the remaining four games. Build a little season ticket for $45 a game. Again, a couple of 1,000 tickets remain. 633-2000, jaguars.com. Military Appreciation Day, B-2 bomber flyover. Should be a lot of fun. And more importantly, Jaguars are sitting 4-4. And for whatever anybody thinks about this team around the league, they at least have an opportunity beginning Sunday to control something, their own destiny at the very least.
Yeah,
game behind the leaders.
It's drama time. And there are four games at home and four on the road. It's going to be a very, very tall task, but it's doable. You're going to have to win all your games at home and win two on the half of your games on the road. I mean, I think that's the reasonable formula for doing this. And that's what a good team, you know, that's what a playoff team that can do something at playoff time does. They win. They get hot. They win six of their last eight.
They're not going to be easy to get hot because the second half schedule, more difficult than the first half.
Oh, much more difficult.
I will say this. Now, I'm going to promise the listener this. If the Jaguars
listeners, we have more than one.
What did I say? Didn't I say listeners?
You said listener.
Well, no, that would apply to, you could say that.
You can?
That's right. If the Jaguars
economics English, you know,
there you go.
If the Jaguars lose on Sunday, you know, I won't talk playoffs again.
Okay,
that's it. I mean, this is it here. You've got to start winning now. You can't, if you fall into last place at this stage of the season, I don't care how many games you're behind, you know, games out of first place, you fall behind the other three, I won't talk about playoffs again.
All right, let's do this. For this team, the midpoint of the season and their bye week met, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're not even with everyone else like they were at the start of the season. But let's start over for just a moment and look at this team over the final 8 weeks of the season. How good are they, right? Pretend this is opening day all over again. Thoughts, expectations for
that's
the
a good
final
question.
Games of the season.
Jeff, go ahead. That's a good question. Where are they?
Question. Jeff, you answer it first.
And you're analyzing this based on what we saw in the first eight?
No, absolutely. Yeah. No, you are doing that. But
I mean,
if you're doing that,
I mean, you're still come to the same conclusions that we've been talking about. I mean,
give me a conclusion.
A team that's up and down. You know, an up and down team.
I'm not
and
sure
a quarterback
I buy into
who's
that.
Up and down.
I think that they have been consistent. They have consistently
been inconsistent.
Gotten killed by the good teams and consistently killed the bad teams. And if you look, there three of their. Let's just throw out the Indianapolis game because that's a division team they know very well. They play them tough every year.
Yeah, but you can't throw that out. But anyway, go ahead.
I think you can throw out division games because you know these people so well. Three of their four wins are against teams that are in the bottom five of the power rankings. You know, Dallas, Denver, and Buffalo.
Yeah, but see, you can't throw it out because you had a tremendous loss against a division opponent in Tennessee here Monday night. So it's
but,
still
that's what
there.
I'm saying. But see, Tennessee's a real good team. San Diego was an elite team coming. When the Jaguars played them, they were considered to be an elite team. They're becoming one again. And Philadelphia is an elite team. Who's the fourth loss to?
San Diego.
Okay, San Diego, Philadelphia, Tennessee, and
Kansas City.
And, you know,
Kansas City's playing really well.
So, I mean, these are top of the power rankings type teams, and they did a number on you. And the Jaguars, their first eight opponents were kind of they were the best or the worst. There wasn't much in the middle, you know, and I think that's why it looks the way it does.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with you.
Okay.
I don't. I mean, I just to me, if you're assessing this team based on what you saw in the first eight games, is that they're wildly inconsistent, and their quarterback is wildly inconsistent, and they've got to find a way to get some consistency in the second half. That's the most important thing.
They're playing a middle-of-the-road team this Sunday, 4-4, just like that.
A middle-of-the-road team, but a team that has a top echelon offense. That's the challenge in this week's
game.
Well,
give them the flip side, too.
They got the worst defense in the league.
Okay, which you take very good and very bad, and that gives you something in the middle. And
gives you a little balance.
Yeah, I think that's where Houston is. I think Houston and Jacksonville are on the same plane, 4-4, and they both have problems on defense. And I expect this to be a very competitive game. Now, if they lay an egg this Sunday, if they get whacked this Sunday, then I think we can fairly next Wednesday start to really question what's going on here. You've got to be
competitive
in a game,
in this game
Sunday where in the final 2 minutes of the game you're either defending the lead or
going for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this to me, you know, the amazing thing is I didn't even know this, but reading the Texans release. This has never been a very close matchup. I think every game's margin of victory has been like 11.7. Is that what I read?
There have been some really big games.
That's
well,
kind of crazy.
Last year's games were close.
Hold on, I'm going to pull them up here.
Oh, because I mean, I know the Texans blew it. I mean, those two ridiculous decisions by that ridiculous decision, that halfback option pass by Kubiak.
Yeah, the Gerald Alexander.
Oh, just a horrible
and then,
call.
And then, you know, to me, the one of the main themes of this game, to me, this team has been not very good after a bye week under Jack Del Rio.
2-5?
2-5.
Ooh. Why? What is that?
I don't know.
Because they're 6-0 going in.
That is also a challenge for this football team is to overcome the bye week blues or whatever you want to call it. But it's there. The numbers don't lie.
Just real quick. Looking at the scores, last year the Jaguars swept the series, 23-18 here, 31-24 there, so an average of 6.5 points margin of victory. That was pretty close. But the Jaguars lost at Reliant in 08, 30-17.
Yeah.
Won here, 30-27. Lost at Reliant in 07, 42-28. Won here, 37-17. There's been a 27-7 game, a 38-20 game,
a 21-0 game in 04. That's the one. Yeah. That's the score you'll never forget.
Yeah.
You know,
the Jaguars beat the Texans here 27-0 the year before in 03. Mm-hmm. So there's been a little of that. Here's the thing that caught me off guard, and I guess I should have known it, but Matt Schaub led the National Football League last year with 4,770 passing yards. I don't know.
I think I kind of knew that.
That's the sixth. I mean, I knew he had a big season.
Yeah. Sixth highest ever in league history,
sixth
right?
Sixth highest in league history. And it was for a team that they were 5-7, then won their last four games.
This has got to be the first time in Texans history that the Jaguars are playing against them, and it's their running game that's leading the way, not their passing game. Now, that's what's different
about
the Texans.
Big difference.
You know what? Let's take a break. We need to talk about that. Obviously, folks, you can join us tonight. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. The Jaguars fans, Teal Town, open 3 hours prior to every Jaguars game. Check it out. Live bands, a huge LED screen, interactive games, football drills, $2 beers, admission free with no game ticket required. Teal Town, just south of the Pepsi Plaza at Everbank Field. We'll take this break. Come back with more Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. Only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Welcome back. Jaguars This Week rolls along here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Sexton Loggeman Ketchman and Mr. Fortunato is alongside as well.
Hey, big thank you to Seabest Seafood.
Oh, shrimp
you asked
is
for
us.
You
fried clams. Even got some shrimp for you, Vic, that weren't fried.
You know, they're here on
crab
Tuesday.
Crab cakes.
Proud sponsors of Ask Vic.
Coconut fried shrimp.
And Ask Vic on Jaguars All Access.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. No, they get that as well.
Very, very nice. Thank you, Seabest Seafood.
They were here last night, as they are on Tuesdays, for the Jack Del Rio show. And the guys who brought it in came, turned around and said, oh, yeah, we'll be back tomorrow night. We said, well, why? And
they Loggeman
said,
wants clam strips.
Loggy wants it.
And they were good, too.
They came running.
Very nice.
Hey, you guys were earlier talking about our record and how you're not going to talk about playoffs should you lose and things like that. Aren't the play-by-play guy of the Texans, the color guy of the Texans, the senior editor of Texans.com, right now sitting down on Texans This Week having the same exact conversation?
Almost. They got a little bit more in their conversation. Yes, they're 4-4, and this is a must-win for them, and of course their team is going on the road. But after Sunday's game, listen to this schedule. Their next five games are at the Jets, Tennessee at home, at Philadelphia, Baltimore at home, at Tennessee.
Yeah, that's nasty.
Now, I don't think they have a prayer of making the playoffs, which means that Gary Kubiak is on death watch.
Didn't he just get an extension, though, last year?
Yeah, but...
Yeah. Got the contract extended till 2012.
He's getting ripped now. There's all kind of, firegarykubiak.com stuff going on.
With a win this week, you could really put him out of their misery early.
You know what's amazing?
They're Gorski.
Each team has a lot at stake because there's so much that you could end up having upon you if you do lose.
Right.
I mean, in Houston, the voices would be just going, fire Kubiak. And here in Jacksonville, how are we going to get people in the seats for the last amount of games?
I think we have a percentage of fans who are smart enough to know that this is a rebuilding project. It's not rebuilding in Houston. This was supposed to be the year.
Yeah,
they've never made it to the playoffs.
Season, right. Mm-hmm. 9-7. You know, but they started... What were they last year? They were 5-3 at the break, and then they lost 4 in a row.
Right.
To go to 5-7.
And
then they finished
four in a row.
The last loss they had in the regular season last year was to the Jaguars here, 23-18. Mm-hmm. They left here and then won the final four games.
That cost them the playoffs.
Yeah, it cost them the playoffs.
And the missed field goals against Indianapolis.
Yes.
They had Indianapolis beaten twice.
The second time.
I know. They had them down by something like 17 points.
It was 24-7 in the first half in Reliance Stadium last year.
And then they let him off the mat.
Off the mat. Mm-hmm. And back they came storming. So here's the question, Logs. And I mean, you're probably best since you watched the tape. How good is this Texans team?
I mean, their offense is it's not at the level in the passing game that it was in years past, and I think part of that is because the emphasis isn't all on the passing game like it used to be. This guy Arian Foster is just an amazing back, came out of nowhere, and he's legitimate. So they're not throwing it around as much. Andre Johnson has been dinged up. They're, super speedy tight end. Owen Daniels has been hurt, recovering from an ACL last year, hamstring this year. You know, so they're missing some parts in the passing game, but their running game is so good now. Mm. Their offensive line is playing very well, and defensively, they're not good. I mean, they're just not good. They have two corners. One's a first-year rookie, first-round pick. The other one's a second-year guy. And they're just getting wore out, you know. And they're not giving them a whole lot of help, you know. And you got young corners like that, you got to give them some help.
Let's talk about the division a little bit. Did everybody watch the Eagles-Colts game?
Yes.
What's the opinion of the Colts?
Peyton Manning has got 21 other guys on his back.
Yep.
And he's the only one paddling the boat. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the impression that I got in that game.
No Owen Daniels, no Joseph Addai. They've lost Bob Sanders and Clint Sessions. Dallas Clark. They've lost Bob Sanders. Looks like Clint Sessions gone for the year. I mean, they just keep dropping.
Austin Collies. He is arguably the greatest player in the league. I mean, he can put a team on his back and carry them.
But can he go another half
starting
of
to get
the
hit,
season?
Jeff? He's starting
but
to get a lot of
you're
hits.
You're starting to see signs that, boy, I mean, it's just so much that for him to handle.
You know, at the end of that game, his throws were so errant.
He was not good in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he was so errant on his throws. I was surprised because we're not used to seeing that from Peyton Manning.
Nope. I get the feel. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You take him away from that team. How good are they?
Well, they're not a 500 team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting the feeling that it's that the Tennessee is clearly the top dog in the division. It's their division to lose.
Wow. Is Chris Johnson that good?
Jeff?
I don't know if it's so much him as it's the team. I mean, they just seem to be able to put all the parts together and play well together as a team, and they play so hard.
And they've got Indianapolis twice in the second half of the season, which is just perfect for them, you know.
Yeah.
And they won't forget. They won't soon forget the hump job that the Colts put on them last year, man. What was the score of that?
It wasn't pretty.
It was bad. Was it a 50 job? I mean, they laid the wood to them.
It wasn't good.
They were going for two because they couldn't go for three, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I'm going to go back and look real
quick.
Well,
I don't know what the score was, but it wasn't pretty.
There was the Titans had a stretch last year where they were losing at halftime in New England 49-0.
Yep.
The truth.
On a cold day in New England.
And then they came here the following week, and the Jaguars laid a 40 job on them.
No, the Jaguars played them the week after they got beat. They got beat by the Patriots, and then they had the bye week, and then the Jaguars played them the first week in November.
And they won.
And the Jaguars.
Oh, well, when did the Jaguars catch them? The first time.
Right, 37-17.
And that wasn't after the New England game.
No, and it was 37. Okay, it was 37-3 at one point.
Well, and then somewhere in the middle of all that, when the Titans were really down, Indianapolis went into Tennessee, went into Nashville, and they just was a Sunday night game, national TV game. And it was a horrible embarrassment for Jeff Fisher. That won't be forgotten.
I'm sorry.
I haven't found it.
Yeah, it's coming up right now. I've just forgotten that game. I don't know why it was blacked out on me. Indianapolis Colts.
We watched it on a plane coming back from somewhere.
Yeah, they got beat 31-9 the week after the Jaguars got them 37-17. And then the next week they got beat 59-0 at New England. So they lost 37-17, 31-9, and 59-9.
That has to be the low point in Jeff Fisher's career as a coach.
They were talking about him getting fired, possibly.
Right. So, I mean, and here they are a year later, 1 year removed from that terrible stretch of schedule, and they look pretty powerful. And, I think it's their division to lose.
All right, folks, time for news as we hit the bottom of the hour. Stay on the line, folks. Call us 355-NFL1. 355-6351. Jaguars This Week rolls along after the news on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Hey, folks, don't forget to register for the November 20th McKenzie's Run, which is a 5K and a 1 mile run and walk through downtown. Finishes on the 50-yard line here at Everbank Field. Find out more about this fun family event at caregivegrow.org. Of course, you can check out firstplacesports.com. And the announcement brought to you by the Jaguars, the Players' Championship, Everbank, and LPS. Again, caregivegrow.org. Brian Sexton, Jeff Longman, Vic Ketchman, Joe Fortunato, John Dineen with you here, Jaguars This Week. Presented by Aetna, Jaguars, Titans. We were talking about the division. Did we cover it in its entirety?
I think we got it.
Okay.
I think we just about got it. The most important thing about this game here is that if you lose, you're in the bottom.
And I don't think the wild card's coming out of this division either. I don't think a wild card is coming out of this division. I think the AFC East and the AFC North are going to produce the wild cards.
Could.
Could. I mean, you could see it in the AFC West, though.
Well, you got 4-6-2 teams in those two divisions.
Yeah. But if Oakland and San Diego continue to...
Yeah, there's no question. But, I mean, you know, San Diego's already got five losses.
But does anybody believe in Oakland? I mean, do you really believe in Oakland? Do you watch that game this past
week?
Well,
I mean, they've got the corners, you know. No, I don't believe in them.
I don't either.
I think they're hot, but they've
got... I believe in Darren McFadden. He was really good.
No, I know, but I don't believe in him either.
Really?
No.
I believe in Asamoah.
He's such a young player.
Yeah, but he hasn't been consistent. I mean, where's he been prior to this year?
All right. I mean, I understand that. But how about, I mean, Arian Foster comes out of nowhere. Yeah. And all of a sudden the light goes on. Here he comes. McFadden's been pretty consistent this year.
Yeah.
Leads the league at 104 rushing yards.
But, I mean, the quarterback play there,
well, that's true.
Not going to get it done.
Well, the crazy part is the cable guy is in love with Gradkowski.
The cable guy.
You know.
Tom the cable guy.
He's in love with Gradkowski. I mean, Campbell's the guy who's getting it done right now, but Cable keeps talking as though as soon as Gradkowski is healthy, he's back in the starting lineup. The guy can't throw the ball across a two-lane road, but he's got some kind of a magic wand. He wins games 2-1.
He's gritty.
He is. He's got some kind of grit to him. You know, it's hard to explain.
The Raiders are the Raiders.
You know, you can't explain them, and you never will be able to explain them.
Back to this division real quick. You said that the Jaguars acknowledge a rebuilding process, that this is supposed to be it for the Texans. They're supposed to be ready to go this year. So how big is the gap between the two teams? When you look at their rosters?
Well, there's no gap. It's just they're different teams. They're both 4-4. The Jaguars...
Well, I mean, from a talent perspective, supposed to be ready to go.
Well, I mean, it's different mindsets. I mean, there is a... If you're talking about stages, I don't think you'd say... A gap, but I mean, there's each franchise, and I think is in a different stage. I mean, they have a premier quarterback, they have a premier wide receiver, an offensive line that they invested some picks in, and they're starting to show the fruits of those.
I agree.
You know, picks because they're playing pretty well, and defensively, top pick after top pick after top pick. I mean, they've been just putting all of those picks onto the defensive side of the ball. Problem is, they're not getting any return on that. That's their biggest problem. I mean, one corner, second-round pick Quinn last year, top pick this year, and Kareem Jackson's not giving them any returns. Okay. I mean, they got Amobi Okoye has done nothing.
Oh, he's soft.
He's so soft.
He is soft.
He's a three technique that can't even hold up against a single block.
Here's my opinion of what's wrong in Houston, and I don't...
What's wrong is their defense.
Yeah, I don't say this to be mean. I just say because I believe it to be the truth. I think it's Gary Kubiak. He's what I call a coordinator, not a head coach. He's a guy that, you know, spends all his time drawing up plays. He's all about the offensive side of the ball, his fancy chart that he holds up in front of his mouth so they can't see what he's saying. You know, one of those kinds of guys.
Yes.
Hey, stop being a coordinator and start being a head coach. You're in charge of all of it. Stop worrying. You're the head coach, and you're concerned about offense. Offense isn't the problem. Defense is the problem. Start coaching the defense. Start getting involved there. And he really hasn't. He continues to be, you know, this play calling whiz, and all the plays in the world aren't going to help a guy who's the coach of a team that's dead last in defense. I think they're going to hire a coach who's going to change all that. And there's going to be instant gratification. There's going to be instant success because the talent is there.
You know, they're that much different than Kansas City in a sense. I mean, remember we talked about the Chiefs and Derek Johnson and the big defensive tackle from Glenn Dorsey. Mm-hmm. They had invested all those picks on the defensive
and
side.
Tom Bahalis, Mario Williams.
Well,
you're right.
You know, I mean, but when you look,
they don't have the receivers.
Well, no, I know. But what I'm saying about Kansas City is that their defense is really helping them this year with a lot of picks who have all of a sudden blossomed. And here you look: Kareem Jackson, Mario Williams, Moby Okoye, Brian Cushing, Glover Quinn. I mean, there's a lot of guys.
And I'm going to help you out there. Houston traded for Matt Schaub. The Chiefs traded
for
Matt Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Both quarterbacks are named Matt.
Right.
Kind of interesting. Here's where the difference is.
Yeah, one's not in the same ballpark as the other.
That's right. No, yeah. Castle is not
in the
same league with Schaub. Here's where I think the big difference is. Gary Kubiak is a former offensive coordinator who is still an offensive coordinator. Todd Haley is a former offensive coordinator, you know, an offensive guy
who is a head coach.
He has brought in top coordinators, Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss, and to show you how well Todd Haley gets it. And this is easy to see from the Jaguars game against them when they threw six passes in the first half. When's the last time Charlie Weiss didn't throw six passes in the first series of a game? You know what I mean? He told Charlie Weiss, run the ball. And you know, and I don't want to hear any of your crap. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to hear my headset, all these fancy pass plays. Run the ball. Todd Haley looks like a guy who really is a head coach, and I'm not getting that from Garrett
Kubiak. Well, and there are very similar situations there, and I guess the outcome would be is if they bring in a coach who becomes a head coach, they might see the same instant gratification, your word, term, with all these players on the defensive side.
No question.
You, I mean, Okoye may not be a player, but Cushing is.
You bring in a dynamic young coach. I'm just going to use a name. Jim Harbaugh, all right, who's looks like he's about ready to graduate from Stanford, and that's a nice diploma too, by the way. You bring in a dynamic young coach, like fiery coach like Jim Harbaugh, who gets it, and what he's done at Stanford to turn that thing around from what Walt Harris left him. Oh, so you bring in a guy like that, and there's not going to be any rebuilding needed in Houston. They're ready to go.
Yeah, I can't figure out what's been going on with Houston with their defense. I mean, remember last year how they were terrible first 4 weeks of the season, and all of a sudden was it Frank Bush?
Yes.
The defensive coordinator in Houston had them, and they were ranked in, I think, the top five somewhere towards the end of last year if you discount the first four games, which you can't do. But, I mean, you can evaluate the progress as far as those terms go. I mean, they were playing really well towards the end of last year.
Well, let's look at the top picks on the defensive side of the ball. D'Amico Ryans, Brian Cushing.
Right.
Dunta Robinson, who's gone.
Right.
He's in Atlanta.
Kareem Jackson.
Mario Williams.
Mario Williams, Amobi Okoye, and the Florida State defensive tackle.
Who's gone.
Travis
San Diego.
Travis McDaniel.
Mm-hmm. Travis Johnson.
Travis Johnson.
Travis Johnson. Isn't he San Diego
Yeah,
now?
He's in San Diego. Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, that's a lot of top picks, and you got nothing to show for it.
32nd ranking in the National Football League in total defense.
Means you're the worst. All those top picks, and you're the worst.
32 is not good.
What are
the understatement of the night, ladies and gentlemen?
At one point, they were 32 against the pass and 1 against the run. And I got a question: are they really that good against the run? And I said, you might want to hold on there because I think everyone is throwing against them and not running.
They're 11th against the run, 32nd against the pass, and they are dead last in the National Football League in takeaways with 8.
Should the Jaguars be able to run against them?
I think they got to throw it. I mean, I'm not saying come out and throw the ball all over the yard, but I'm saying that David, if they're going to compete with that high-powered offense, David, it needs to have a real solid day.
David Garrard is the fourth-ranked passer in the National Football League.
Isn't that crazy?
Now, should the fourth-ranked passer in the National Football League be able to chew up this defense?
He's ranked higher than Matt Schaub.
His numbers are better than Schaub.
Better than Manning.
And that's something.
Isn't he? Yeah. It's Vince Young, Michael Vick, Vince Young, Philip Rivers, David Garrard. He's got a better passer rating than Peyton Manning.
And Tom Brady. But how many wins does he have compared to them? Not as many.
Four.
Because it's been
Should he be able to chew these guys up on Sunday?
He should be able to have a very good day.
Hey, Brian Cushing today was announced by the folks in Houston that he's moving back to the outside. He was moved inside upon his return from the four-game suspension. He hasn't performed
well. He moved inside because he was outside.
D'Amico Ryans was injured.
D'Amico Ryans tore an ACL. I guess that's what he tore.
I think it was his Achilles.
Achilles. Yeah. And then when he got hurt, they put Brian as the middle backer. And so I'm watching tape this week of a 260-pound playmaking linebacker drop in coverage in two funnel to 20 yards deep in the middle. What is that? I mean, Brian Cushing dropping into the deep middle? How's he going to make a play for you doing that? I mean, just put a safety in there to do that.
Well, I guess that goes back now to Vic's question, can they run the ball? If Brian Cushing goes back outside, they're soft with Amobi Okoye,
I remember the last game that they played where Brian Cushing stayed on the outside and they had a sub, and I don't remember who it was. I think it was 53, whoever that is.
Stanford Kegler.
Kegler. They brought this guy Stanford Kegler in, and he played in the middle. I think it was against Kansas City. Not sure, but I think it was against Kansas City.
Kansas City ran for 226.
He was terrible. I mean, and so after watching that game, I'm like, holy cow, they got to do something at that middle backer position because Kegler was I mean, just atrocious. But see, that goes back to the old thing is that you don't take one guy and move him into another spot because in reality what you're doing is you're weakening two spots to cover for one. Mm-hmm. Coughlin used to do that on the offensive line, used to drive me nuts. Mm-hmm. We'd have an injury at left guard, and he'd take the right guard, move him to left guard, and then put in the backup at right guard. Well, wait a minute. Aren't you weakening two spots? Well, the Texans essentially did that and weakened two spots trying to cover for one. And what they should have done is had a backup linebacker somewhere that was cross-trained that could have stepped into that role and played the middle.
The owner ordered the locker room searched.
That's a bad head coaching decision.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you, so you answered it. I mean, he ordered the was it Kubiak or was it the owner that ordered?
It was the owner. Bob McNair.
Bob McNair ordered that the lockers be searched for performance-enhancing drugs.
Because they'd had a couple of guys serve four-game suspensions.
Well, I'm not so sure I want to play for that guy.
I don't like that.
I don't like it at all.
Brian Cushing returned from a four-game suspension. So did Dwayne Brown.
Well, that's what it came in response to was Dwayne Brown's suspension. Because Cushing, we all know that he didn't do anything wrong. That's no. Bob McNair. Went to bat for him.
It's true.
And then Dwayne Brown ends up getting a suspension, a couple games into the season. And then that's when he had the locker room swept.
And supposedly the Texans had a team meeting, and there are three firms that are approved by the NFL to manufacture supplements.
Yeah, they have approved supplements, yep.
So Bob McNair sent them in to look for. They said, don't bring those things here. And so they sent them in to find out.
Would you keep it in your locker?
I don't know. I didn't have anything to keep. back when I played Vic, we had all kinds of stuff.
If they told you not to bring it in and you did it anyway?
Well, the last place in the world I'm going to do is the last thing I'm going to do is bring something illegal to an environment.
Yeah, but it's not illegal.
A lot of these guys are taking things that are not knowingly illegal.
If I'm taking Anabol and it's outlawed, I'm not bringing Anabol into the locker room.
Yeah, but that's what they're talking about.
A lot of these guys are taking stuff, Vic, that it's weird. Supplements don't go through a rigorous testing
by the Food
regime.
And Drug Administration.
Okay, like, certain things do. So a lot of times a manufacturer slip a little something in there, make it a little,
remember,
give you a little pep,
ephedrine,
right?
Is not illegal, but it is outlawed in the NFL. You could bring ephedrine in, and it wouldn't be something that would get you in trouble.
The supplement industry is not tightly regulated.
Not with the law.
So a lot of times you'll have substances in there that aren't on the label.
Okay.
That is legitimate. I mean, and a lot of people say, well, boy, I hear that. And then, he's just making it up.
Saying if I'm taking something, I'm not bringing it in. I'll leave it at home.
But they have approved supplements.
Yeah.
That have withstood that rigorous testing that they can take.
And McNair told his team that's all you can bring into the locker room.
What I mean.
Yeah.
If it wasn't something I could bring into the locker room,
right.
I wouldn't bring it into the locker room.
Right.
I just think the owner did something here that was showboating, and it's going to cost him. I think he was showboating.
Maybe.
Flexing his muscles, saber rattling,
well,
whatever you want to call
it. He spends a lot of money on these guys.
He's
the
owner.
Four games,
he can do what he wants.
I don't think it helped his cause.
Let's take a break. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-635. One more to come. Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card. When you purchase at least 10 gallons of Gay gasoline, you get $2 in Jag Bucks back. Details go to Jaguars. I swear. Jaguars.com. We ought to have a commercial feed that we charge for. During commercials, you can turn on your computer and watch it.
It would all get fired.
Oh.
Yep. That last commercial break would have done it. I can tell
that's
you that.
Not even ready for cable.
You for sure, Vic. You for sure.
We wouldn't have made it to the second hour.
Oh, wow. Fun times, folks. Jaguars and Texans, 1 o'clock kickoff. Haven't had a 1 o'clock home game since opening day.
We 1 o'clock the rest of the way?
1 o'clock the rest of the way.
Maybe the Giants game could go to 4. Who has it?
That's a
CBS game?
At the Giants, so it will be CBS. A CBS game.
They put it in the endangered species category.
Okay. Which means protected. That they want to move it. Right, because it's the number one market.
They protected it. So
it could go to four.
Could go to four. You know, but I mean, CBS does that with all games in New York, so for the obvious reason. You know, the Giants will be hot. They'll be playing for home field advantage. Of course,
the Giants are hot.
Yes.
Watched them a little bit this weekend. Oh, wow.
What they did in Seattle is criminal.
So, I mean, any time the Jets or Giants in that position, the network protects
those games.
And the Jaguars happen to be playing there in a couple weeks, and it'll be protected.
The Giants-Seattle game was so bad that they had Michael Strahan from the studio in the entire second half, it seemed like.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, because, I mean, you had the Fox number one team, Troy and
Joe Buck
calling the game, and they're talking about a game that's a blowout. So they brought Michael Strahan in and talked about Coughlin and, you know, the Giants. And I mean, that's not good.
What a great job Tom has done. You know, after that Indianapolis game, they were calling for his head.
Yep. And Eli Manning is having a sensational year. Hakeem Nicks is maybe the best receiver in football that no one talks
about. His receivers
are
fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if he's got Marlon one guy that's, you know, an Andre Johnson type. But
Nicks,
I mean,
is really good.
They just make plays. And then the tight end, Vic, I had a chance earlier this week to watch the Texans against the Titans. They did play, right?
Against the
Titans did not
Texans
play.
Against the Giants?
Texans yes. got whipped badly.
Yeah, the Giants and the Texans. That's a game I watched earlier. Mm-hmm. And you know the guy that really stood out to me on the Giants? Kevin Boss.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's good.
He's big.
He's big. He's tough. He blocks. He catches. He does everything that you could possibly want a tight end to do. Kind of like Mercedes, you know, but a little grittier. You know, kind of not as talented, has to do the extra effort to make it look or to have it be as good. I mean, Mercedes clearly more talented, but I mean, Kevin Boss does it all.
You know, that's not an all character bunch he's got there. Since Ernie Accorsi shut it down, it was turned over to Jerry Reese. He's got some
edge.
He's got some guys with a little baggage. Hakeem Nicks is a baggage guy. He's got some guys like that, and which goes to show you that Tom can coach those guys too.
He's done a good job. Well, that's a tough market to have success in.
Mm-hmm.
What they did to Dallas on that Monday night game after falling behind 20-7 was as good a job as any coach in this league has done this season. Maybe the best.
Yep.
So, all right, folks, that will do it for hour number one. You can test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta at your local Southern Ford dealers. We break. News is next, then more. Jaguars this week presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
All right, here we go. Hour number two, Jaguars This Week, presented by the official watch company, the Jaguars Bueller Swiss. You can get your Bueller Swiss watch at Allen's Jewelers here in Jacksonville. Robinson Jewelry Company up in Fernandina Beach. Faceted Rainbow in Ocala. Kingsley Jewelry in Orange Park. And Lords and Barons Jewelry in Tallahassee. Sexton, Loggeman, Ketchman, Fortunato, John Denis, we're all here. 355-NFL-1. Phone lines are starting to light up. We didn't touch a single call in hour number one, so should we start with them in hour number two?
Please do.
All right, here we go. We go to Leo, who is out in Jacksonville Beach. And Leo, we welcome you to the show.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Vic. Hey, Brian.
Hey.
Hey, I got a quick comment, a quick question. I want to answer it off the air, please. Myles Walker in the Dallas Cowboy game, it seemed like they made a considerate effort to get him involved early. And if you notice, he not only got open with the short routes, but he got open deep like a DeSean Jackson in that particular game. I'm wondering if they're going to have the same game plan during the Houston game as well. Thank you for your time listening to my question.
Yeah, Leo, one of the things that really has become a pattern with Mike is that when he plays a team that plays a zone defense, he thrives. When he plays a team that plays man, he doesn't have as much success.
Because he's a one-speed guy.
And because he's not real crisp in and out of his breaks. And we had him on the show.
Yes.
The Monday last week, and I told Mike, I said, you know, the biggest thing you got to do is to run crisp routes. If he did, then he would get more separation in man, and the quarterback would have a comfort level with that separation throwing the football to him. You got to remember, too, in the Dallas game, you had two corners that were, one of them struggling immensely.
Terrence Newman.
Jenkins.
Well, no, Jenkins is the one that's struggling. Well, Newman was hurt, and Newman was hurt bad, where he shouldn't even have been on the field. Mm-hmm. And so you had two corners that are struggling, well, struggling for two different reasons, and playing a coverage that Mike typically excels in, Mike Sims-Walker, that is. So if you really want to pay attention to a game and really see who's going to be the go-to guy, see what type of defense they play. If it's man, Mike Thomas will be more apt to have the bigger game. If it's zone, then Mike Sims-Walker will be the guy that would have the bigger game.
Leo, you just got an expert analysis.
You know, and I think just for that Leo, call back, Leo, because you are the Metro PCS Caller of the Week.
Dun,
and
da,
for
da,
that,
da.
You'll, yeah, there you go. Did you tape that? Tape him, taping him doing that.
Dun, da, da, da.
Did you tape it?
We
great.
Got it.
There you go.
We got it.
Okay, so every week when you hear the, that means you're the Metro PCS Caller of the Week, and you'll receive a Jaguars prize pack. Remember, with no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you, as Vic just showed you how, unlimit yourself.
That's so, Leo, mm-hmm. call back, and
you get a prize pack.
Get a prize pack. I don't know what
you get. A Leo.
That's pretty good.
Pulling mm-hmm. a Leo.
You get Cleo's. This is a Leo.
Question. It's a very good question, though, because a mm-hmm. lot of people think, well, how come you know they don't get Mike Sims-Walker involved the next week too? Well, they want to get Mike Sims-Walker involved every week, but sometimes it's not the same defense. That's why when we were in Dallas, and I remember early in the game, I think I said it to you, Brian. I said, I can't believe Dallas is playing these guys in a zone defense. I mean, what a huge strategic error on the part of Wade Phillips as defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys to do that. If you're going to play the Jaguars, you play them in man.
That's probably why he isn't a coach anymore. They did not do a good job.
No, they really didn't. I mean, that was, I mean, good for the Jaguars. I mean, very, yeah. very good for the Jaguars. I mean, play them in zone. And David will excel, you know, because he's going to – Mike Sims-Walker is very good at finding the gaps, the holes, or whatever you want to call it in his own defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, because he's passing from one zone to another, and he can just kind of drift. He doesn't have to be crisp to fool one guy. And when he has to be crisp or lead a guy into believing he's going one direction, then he goes another, that's not where he excels.
All right, 355-NFL-1 to St. Augustine, where Dave is next. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Really excited for the game this week. It seems like it's been a month since we've had a home game.
28 days by the time they hit it up.
Has it really been that long?
Get out there and get a screaming. Vic, this week on Ask Vic, someone asked you to rate some of the players that the Jaguars passed on in the draft, and you specifically mentioned C.J. Spiller with the 9th overall pick.
Yeah, I did that because it really on the first day of the draft, there were just two guys on their board, so to speak. They knew Tyson Alualu was going to be there with the 10th pick. They wanted to trade down and pick him later, but they knew he was going to be there. So they didn't have to worry about Brian Bulaga. They didn't have to worry about Jared Audrick or anybody else. For them, it was whether C.J. Spiller would be there, and if he wasn't, then Tyson Alualu was their guy.
What if both were there?
I think Spiller would have been their pick.
You're steadfast that you get the big guys early. From what I can tell, I think C.J. Spiller is a talented player. I think he does have upside. I think he may be good. But can you honestly tell me that he was worth the 9th overall pick in the draft? Because that's...
I'm not telling you anything. Well, I'm just saying that's what I think.
I'll tell you this, Dave. He wasn't worth the 9th overall pick in the draft for a team that has to rebuild from the ground up. Now, for a team that has an established core of big guys, sure he'd be worth the 9th pick of the draft. And you can't evaluate his performance in a rookie season with a bad Buffalo Bills team. You really can't.
No.
I mean, it's very difficult to say, well, because you know what? If C.J. Spiller were in Kansas City in the same shoes as the guy that they got from
Dexter McCluster.
Dexter McCluster, C.J. Spiller may be a beast this year.
Well, let me give you a couple names. Darren McFadden's a former first-round pick. He's hitting his stride this year. Rashard Mendenhall, former first-round pick.
He was going to be a bust.
He did nothing as a rookie. Got his shoulder broken in half by Ray Lewis. Now he's, you know, a 1,000-yard rusher. So you can't, one half of the first half of a guy's rookie year, you're going to, you know, declare him a hit or miss. No, you can't do that. All I'm trying to say is I have a feeling Spiller was higher rated on their board than Tyson Alualu. I think that had Spiller been there, he would have been their pick.
Appreciate the phone call, Dave. 355-NFL1. Let's grab James, who joins us from Mayport. Hello, James.
Gentlemen, and I use that term loosely. How y'all boys doing?
What's good happening, James?
Well, Jeff, I tried to get my question answered last night by Coach, but the screener was adamant about Coach ain't going to answer that. That's just ridiculous. Okay, my question is old school football, when you hear the old statement to Mean Joe Green, and they used to say, man, we used to didn't brush our teeth for a week, and we'd eat chili, tuna, and peanut butter sandwiches, and we'd use the bathroom all week, and just to intimidate other players on the field, right?
Right.
I can do that.
I've been a Jaguar fan since they became Jaguars. I bleed teal and black, baby, you know? And what if you just take your four fingers, dip it in black paint, and rub it down your face from your forehead to your chin, put your helmet on, get on that field, and just growl at the other team?
You thought I was crazy.
Are you the screener?
It would have been great on Halloween. I mean, just... Yeah. And just watch him go, oh, no. Yeah, baby, that's what I want to see. But does the NFL tell you you can't paint your face like that?
You know what, James? It reminds me. I remember, you can pitch your face.
Remember Mitch Ferratt?
Yeah. Bills. Mitch Ferratt did it.
Ray Bentley
had the
John Randall,
the Ultimate Warrior face paint. Randall had the Ultimate Warrior face paint.
Didn't intimidate anybody.
But you know, James, here's the thing about trying to intimidate guys in the NFL, and I'll never forget this for as long as I live. I remember lining up against the feared Jumbo Elliott. Right? Bill Parcells, man-eater, offensive tackle. And it was the first play of the game. And I was lining up right across from Jumbo Elliott, and he starts growling at me. And I started laughing inside because on that particular play, I said, Jumbo, I didn't say this, but I was thinking this, I'm not even going your way. I'm going to take a step. So I just kind of went at him like that, and he got kind of PO'd about it. I took one step. Touched his chest and then looped underneath the nose tackle underneath the center and whacked Phil Sims. And I walked past Big Jumbo and went,
I just think it'd be great. Even have Jacksonville with the same paint right down his face.
Intimidation right, at the NFL level doesn't work.
I hope the best, man. I'm ready to whoop some ass and take names, baby.
Get painted up, James, for Sunday.
Yeah. All right. Hey, look, James, hold on the line, because even though Joe didn't want to put you on last night, tonight, yeah, you're the you've just won 20 Jaguars scratch-off tickets from the Florida Lottery.
Sweet.
To play the Jaguars scratch-off game, visit a Florida Lottery retailer near you. You get lucky. You can buy a lot of paint. That's how it works. Thanks for rolling with us tonight, James. If you have a crazy question, we might put it on the air, just like that one. 355 NFL 1.
I thought it was pretty good. We need to get Vic painted up on game day.
Oh, my God. And a keyboard right across his forehead, baby. Take a break. More to come. Jaguars this week on News Talk Radio, WOKV, depend on.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Well, when the Jaguars win, everyone wins at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. Get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on a Monday or Tuesday after the Jaguars win at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. So are you tired of the question to ask Vic, and are you tired of getting it from people, what the heck are they doing with these hits?
No, I'm not tired of it. It's a real issue, and I think the integrity of the game is at stake.
I think the issue is that the league has gone way overboard. And to the point where they've almost backed themselves into a corner, and they're not going to be able to get out. To where if they do back off, which I don't believe they will now because they've taken such a stance that makes it almost impossible to back out. What they're doing is the intent is right, but they're not looking at the intent to make it right.
If you want to know what to do, ask the players what to do. Don't get a bunch of stuffed shirts, a bunch of attorneys, a bunch of marketing majors to make decisions on how to prevent injuries. Get the players in to offer advice. They know what to do.
Here's the thing, Vic. They're looking at slow-mo replays, right?
Right.
To determine whether something is legal or illegal. The game is not played in slow-mo.
Got that right.
The game is played with a speed and a tempo that things happen. The hit against Roy Williams. Are you kidding me? $50,000 for that? I mean, come on. It's not like he ran in there, launched himself, and became a missile and hit Roy in the back of the head.
I've got other complaints, too. For instance, the Colts-Eagles game, they literally put the ball point blank. They didn't put it on the one-yard line, but they might as well put it on the one-yard line and said, here, score. And now we have a two-point game. And when you go from fourth down, the other team's ball, to their ball, first and goal, you're almost giving the game away. And that's Peyton Manning, who's the other quarterback. Then the following night in the Monday night game between the Steelers and Bengals, they did the same thing again. There was one series after the game got out of control where there were three consecutive big penalties, the last one of which was, I think, a 30-yard pass interference penalty. It was almost no contact to put the ball on the one-yard line and then put the ball in the end zone. So the Bengals literally had to drive the ball 1 yard. 1 yard for 7 points. That's not right. You can't equate 80-yard drives with 1 yard drives. The way the game is being officiated right now is absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
And but it's not their fault.
Whose fault?
The official's fault.
It's not the official's fault.
No, and I think you hit it right on the button for Monday night's Jaguars All Access. I thought your piece was perfect, well said.
Thank you.
And you said that you need Roger Goodell, be careful. And I wish you had the script.
The charm of the game always has been, and in my opinion always will be, contact, hitting. It's the thing that has made the game the intense passion that it is for this country. It's the thing that made the game more popular than baseball. Once upon a time, if I may,
please.
Once upon a time, the baseball was given the advice, you got to speed up your game. All right, it's getting too slow.
They didn't take it.
They were arrogant. No, we're baseball. We can do whatever they want, whatever we want. And the game went for 3 hours to 3.5 hours, and it got too slow. And all of a sudden, it was no longer the national pastime. Now people are telling football, hey, you better be careful here. You turn this into two-hand tag, all right?
You will not stay
where
you are.
And you will not remain the number one sport. And I think football is saying, oh, no, they'll always watch. Well, it's that same arrogance cost baseball the title of the national pastime.
355-NFL-1. Let's grab Mike across the river in Arlington. Mike, we welcome you to the program. Good evening.
Hey, guys. Great talking with you.
Thanks to have you on.
I'm a business guy in Arlington, and looking at what the NFL owners and team franchises have been doing over time to try and, raise revenues and cut into what the players are they're taking the pie over the past few years. Could this be another way for them to, kind of take a slice out of the players?
How so?
Well, $50,000 for the hit?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay. This is all for show.
I don't think that that's it. But I can, because then what we're talking about here is, a couple $100,000 a week. I mean, still wouldn't even impact what the amount of money is. Mm-hmm. And that money does get distributed to charities.
Right.
I don't know if you knew that or not, Mike. But all of that money goes into different hands of charity organizations.
NFL charities.
That are supported by the NFL. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't go back into the owner's pockets anyway. But here's the thing. You start having Eagles fans see what happened Sunday night, right?
My Sunday afternoon. Okay, the Eagles were penalized 14 times.
Okay.
14 times.
And then you start having that happen, you know, because it's cyclical. It'll happen to Eagles fans this week, and maybe next week it'll be the Colts fans, and the next week the Bengals, and next week the Steelers. You see what I'm getting at? All of a sudden you start to have fans now. They're going to start to get angry at the calls and angry at the league for what I consider some frivolous rules.
Oh, let me ask you something here, Jeff. Did you see that?
I understand the intent, and the intent is to protect players to make sure that week after week.
No, it's not. It's CYA. That's what it is.
Well, their intent, and I understand what it is. Their intent is to protect players so that the stars play week after week, because the stars are what sell the game.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that, and trust me, I do. But you can't change the game.
The play that we talked about in the Eagles game that put the ball point blank, allowed the Colts to go from losing the ball on fourth down to being first and goal, was a touch of Peyton Manning's helmet. They hit him too high. The following night, one of the big plays that allowed the comeback was Casey Hampton hitting, and hitting is not a good word.
He
hit him at the thighs. He hit him at the thigh pads.
I don't care where he hit him at. He got thrown into the quarterback.
All right. Too low.
Doesn't matter.
So you can't hit him high. You can't hit him low. Where the heck can you hit him?
From the mid thigh to the armpits.
Well, they blew it. It was mid thigh, and they blew it. I mean, they can't get it right even when it's done right.
Hit him lower. Hit him lower. But he was the offensive lineman turned and threw him to the ground, because he couldn't stop the push of Casey Hampton. So he turned and went to throw him to the ground, thinking that the quarterback wouldn't be there. He would be to the inside. So he threw Casey Hampton to the quarterback. That's not a penalty.
Now, I got a question here. Should it be the responsibility of the defense to protect the players they're trying to defeat?
No.
Good question.
No.
I mean, isn't that absurd?
Yes.
Wait a minute. I got to do two things. I got to beat these guys, and I've got to make sure they don't get hurt. That's ridiculous.
Mike, we appreciate the phone call this evening. You can join
us.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351.
You know, it was funny because Monday night we had Montel Owens on Jaguars All Access, and great guest. And we asked Montel about something, and he's in agreement with us. I mean, he thinks they're trying to do too much. And we showed some special teams plays in which things were slow-mo'd a little bit, and to see the head helmet to helmet contact on players that are unknowing that happen through the course of every play,
mm-hmm.
it's there.
Did you happen to see in the Eagles Colts game early in the game, Michael Vick was run out of bounds and over a first down marker,
yep,
and onto the ground 3 yards out of bounds, no penalty.
Yeah.
What if Peyton Manning had been run over? The guy would have been executed.
Yep.
They'd have pulled out a gun and shot him in the head right there.
No, he wouldn't have done that. They would have beat him with
shot him in the foot.
Beat him in the club.
Beat him with a club.
Yeah.
All right, folks. We got another half hour of this radio program coming right back at you. You can visit Sports Mania, by the way, for your chance to win the Ultimate Jaguars Game Day Experience. That's a limousine ride, club seats, and Sky Lounge tailgate party passes for the Jags-Texans game. Register for free at your closest Sports Mania in Jacksonville. More to come after news. News Talk Radio, WOKV, depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
You got to be careful what you say. It never disappears.
Very nice, Vic.
You know, the sinister part is what he can do with that.
I don't know.
He can string that together.
Did you guys get the email this week from the league?
Yes, about the safety stuff. Mm-hmm.
The league sent out a memo to all the public relations directors in the National Football League and said that, hey, we want you to circulate this information regarding player safety to your media. Mm-hmm. Goal is to promote understanding of player safety related rules and procedures. Attached, mm-hmm, you will find all of the necessary information in the 2010 League Policies for Players manual.
CYA.
And so I've been reading it, and hits on defenseless players. NFL rules provide special protection to defenseless players by prohibiting A, hits delivered to their head or neck area by an opponent with his helmet, which is face mask included, mm-hmm. forearm or shoulder, and B, hits delivered by an opponent with his helmet, and that's the top, crown, forehead, hairline parts, against any part of the defenseless player's body. Mm-hmm. Any part. I didn't know that they said any part. I thought it was just neck and head. That's any part.
That's part of that launch thing.
And here's the other thing.
It's pretty standard, though, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's to see what you hit.
Defenseless players are not just receivers and quarterbacks. I didn't know that either.
Who else?
A player in the act of catching of or just after throwing a pass. Mm-hmm. Two, a receiver catching or attempting to catch a pass. And here's the one I did know. Or actually a couple of them. C, a runner already in the grasp of a tackler and whose forward progress has been stopped.
That's spearing.
D, a kickoff or punt returner attempting to field kick in the air. Knew that. Mm-hmm. And then E, a player on the ground at the end of the play. Knew that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know, forward momentum stopped, that you could not use the hairline portion on it. I mean, so... Mm-hmm. They could literally call a penalty on almost every play.
That's spearing. What they're not giving
you... Yeah, but
the
hairline is right there. That happens every time.
What they're giving you is legalese for spearing. You can't spear. You can't use the crown of your helmet as a weapon.
How will this play in the competition committee next spring?
That's a very, very good question.
Because those are guys who are tasked with protecting and preserving the integrity of the game.
You know, Let me tell you some of the things that I've done and asked Vic to talk about this issue, one of which I did today, is come up with wild solutions. You know, hey, just let's just do this, let's do that. And one of them I threw out there today, strictly for topical stuff, for conversation, was eliminate intentional grounding. So that any quarterback can spike the ball, can ground it at any time. Now, you're obviously not going to do that on third down or fourth down, because you need to complete the pass.
Right.
But on first and second down, if you see you're going to be sacked, if the rush is going to get to you, just throw it down to the ground. Well, that's going to probably save hits on the quarterback as much as 50% or more.
You'd be grounding.
Eliminate grounding. No more grounding. You want to throw it to the ground? Throw it to the ground. Any play, any time.
Eliminate it altogether.
Yeah. What aren't you going to do on first and second down a lot? Rush the passer. You're going to drop more people into coverage because you're not going to get to him. He's just going to ground the ball. He's going to spike it. So you're going to put more men into the passing lanes. And what's that going to do? That's going to crowd the passing lanes, so there'll be less space and
I'd be for that.
And fewer high-speed collisions.
I'd be for
Why can't we just do something simple like that instead of trying to change, to reprogram the player? Yeah. The player has been taught to play this way. Why do we have to reteach him?
Here's another.
It's a great point, Vic.
It is good. It's a very good point.
Just make intentional grounding. If you want to save the quarterback from injury, allow him to ground the ball anytime he wants. It's a way of saying, I surrender.
That and taking the helmet back to what it once was.
Right.
Nah, you don't want to do that.
Okay.
I like my teeth.
Then give me the intentional grounding.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
I like that.
It's a way of saying, I surrender.
Here's roughing the pass rules. You got the one-step rule. You know, you can't take three steps and hit the guy. Stuffing the passer rule. Okay, you're not allowed or you're prohibited from committing such intimidating and punishing acts as stuffing the passer into the ground mm-hmm. or driving him down after he's gotten rid of the ball.
That's the Turkey Jones rule.
Yeah, but I like the language. They said, when tackling a passer who is in a virtually defenseless posture, a defensive player must not unnecessarily or violently throw him down and land on top of him with all or most of the defender's weight. Uh-huh. Instead, the defensive player must strive to wrap up
cradle
the passer with the defensive player's arm.
He must wrap him up and put him down softly.
Oh, man.
And here's the case.
Well, Jerry Rice wore leotards on Dancing with the Stars.
Different game.
Here's the Casey Hampton rule.
Pink.
Oh, dear God.
And this here is...
What color did Lynn Swan wear when he
crazy.
Was on...
The same color that Bednarik and Butkus wore.
Hitting a passer's knees, Vic. Here's the Casey Hampton mm-hmm. rule. A rushing defender is prohibited from forcibly hitting in the knee area or below a pass or below a passer who has one or both feet on the ground.
Do not go low on the passer.
So if he jumps in the air, it's okay to hit him low. But if it's on the ground, you can't hit him low. Even if the initial contact is above the knee, it is not a foul if the defender is blocked or fouled into the passer and has no opportunity to avoid him. That should have been the reason why Casey Hampton was not called. But note one, a defender cannot initiate a roll or lunge and forcibly hit the passer in the knee area or below, which I understand that. That's the Chemo, Van Hoffen, Carson Palmer
right,
rule.
Playoff game.
Tom Brady rule two.
Okay. Even if he is being contacted by another player.
What about foreign objects in the pants?
It says if there are foreign objects in the pants and the defender swipes, wraps, or grabs a... No, I'm just kidding.
Can't use foreign objects. Ah, it means George the Animal Steel can't play in the NFL. Do you think that stuff is subject to a little bit of interpretation? You know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that stuff's crazy. That's just whacked out. There's no player that wrote that. That is right out of the twisted mind of an attorney.
Pretty thorough.
Take that, attorneys. 355-NFL-1. Let's grab Lee.
It used to be fun to hit the quarterback.
You betcha. You know what Joe Namath said? Remember what Joe Namath said?
What he said? Kiss me, Susie?
He said, quote, "We're the trophy."
Yeah.
"We're the trophy."
And that's why they get paid the big money.
He said, "Kiss me, Susie," also.
Did he?
Yeah.
Susie Colbert.
Oh, that's right.
I want to kiss you. That's what it was. Oh,
you better never say that on the
air. He had a few beers. Hey, let me tell you. Quick story about... Quick story about Butkus. Did you ever see the NFL Films clip? A long time ago, they did an interview with him, you know, when he was all the rage.
Yeah.
And they asked him, you know, the innocuous question, "What's your favorite movie?"
I've seen this clip. It's great.
It's hilarious.
And have you seen it?
I didn't see it, no.
And he said, "Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte." So the interviewer said, "Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte, you know, well, what did you like about that?" And when he got this sheepish, embarrassed look on his face, he said, "Well, you know, that part where the head comes rolling down the steps kind of turns me on." Betty Davis, her head is rolling down the steps.
I don't know the movie. I didn't see it.
Yeah, he liked it when the head came rolling down the steps.
Not a game for well-adjusted men. Not at all. Hey, quick look at the injury report brought to you by our friends at Baptist Health. Two Jaguars on the list today. Only two. Jeremy Mincy, limited with his hand. Of course, we know that he broke it in practice a few weeks ago. And Darryl Smith with a back, also limited. Any of you know anything to any extent about Darryl?
No, I don't.
Okay. For the Texans, a couple of guys did not participate. Xavier Adibi, the linebacker. Owen Daniels, who missed last week with a hamstring. The tight end did not play today in practice. Andre Johnson with the high ankle sprain did not participate, but he didn't practice at all last week, and he still played in the game. Safety Dominique Barber, linebacker Kevin Bentley, guard Mike Breisel. I mean, on and on and on. A bunch of limited guys, including Matt Schaub with the ribs, and that's a story worth following the rest of the week because he took a pretty good shot last week.
Well, he took a shot, too. I mean, literally took a medication shot.
Yeah, to come back out.
Came back out. So,
and Mario Williams did not practice today or was limited in practice today with a groin injury. So that's the injury report today. Obviously, a couple of days of practice before the Texans and Jaguars have to declare who is playing and who is not for Sunday's game. Let's take a break. One more commercial timeout, and then we return with one more segment of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Again, the commercial timeouts, folks. 355-NFL-1, 10 minutes left in our program this evening. Some callers on the line. Let's grab Lee in Ponte Vedra. Hello, Lee. Welcome to the show. Thanks for holding.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Jeff, I was wondering if you could break down the film for us.
Sure.
See how we match up. And between you and Vic, how do we win this game? I'll take it off the air. Thanks, guys.
Great.
Well, Jeff's not here. He went down to the head.
He went to go kill something in the hallway.
Oh, here he is.
Lee was just asking Vic to break the game down for him.
Actually, Lee asked for you to break the game
down.
No,
I don't think so.
Where were you?
He wanted to know if you've ever shot an animal without a license.
No.
Did you ever shoot an animal in your pajamas?
I've always been.
Would you like to shoot an animal without a license?
Permitted. No. No. Had to find a bathroom that was available. Sorry.
And?
I found one.
What, a cup?
You're
Did you
terrible.
Pee in the kitchenette?
No.
Hey, you can't say kitchenette on the radio.
All right, well, break it down. I don't know what that means, but break it down.
What do you want to know, Lee? Turn Lee back up.
He's gone.
He's gone?
Yeah. He wants you to break it down. Break down the game. What's important, what's not?
Well, you better stop Arian Foster. If you don't stop him, it's going to be a really long day on defense. He's the best back in the league right now. Maybe the best player right now in the league.
Wow. Hey, why did he not get drafted? No one seems to want to say.
He didn't play much at Tennessee, did he?
He did something bad.
I was.
Maybe he wrote Cam Newton's term paper for him.
Well, here's the thing. When
I doubt it.
Adrian Peterson in Minnesota, and then Minnesota brings in Randy Moss and. You know, the analysts were saying, boy, they get Randy Moss, it's going to take that safety out of the box for Adrian Peterson. Well, Randy Moss is not consistent enough to be able to take that safety out of the box for Adrian Peterson. Andre Johnson is the guy that can take the safety out of the box consistently for Arian Foster, and that's what makes him so dangerous.
Meaning he's running against 7 instead of 8.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so most people have been, at least in years past, more scared of Andre Johnson than they have any Texans running back.
Good point.
And one of the things that I always look at is, you know, and I call this the San Diego rule. Remember for years that we would watch LaDainian Tomlinson and Michael Turner run, and when one was in, it didn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in fact, Michael Turner had more yards per carry average in San Diego than when LT was in, right?
Completely different backs, which was perfect.
You know, but I mean, my whole point was is that the running game didn't drop off. You know, they were still really good, which means the offensive line was good. When you watch the Texans and you watch a running play and you go, man, that was a nice running play. And then you focus in on who the back was, 23. Boy, that was a good running play, 23. Boy, that was really nice, 23. Boy, that didn't look all that good, 32. Boy, that didn't look very good compared to the last one, 32. I mean, there is a significant drop-off when he is not in the game, which means he is all that. He is that good.
He was described today by Maurice Jones-Drew and then later by Jack Del Rio as a one-cut-and-go running back. You know, that was the old-fashioned NFL running back, one-cut-and-go. There wasn't time for more than one cut. Well, in recent years, we've seen that change. I mean, Fred Taylor, I mean, he'd make 4 or 5 moves in the hole. But this is the old-fashioned one cut and go.
He's good. He's good back.
Has he changed Gary Kubiak? Remember all those years that Kubiak was with Shanahan, the Broncos were number one running.
Well, who was his offensive coordinator last year? Kyle Shanahan. Mm-hmm. Who's his offensive coordinator this year? Rick Dennison. Where'd Rick Dennison?
Denver.
He was offensive line coach.
Yep.
So you got a kind of a little bit of a change in philosophy, even though that Kubiak is the offensive coordinator. You've got a coordinator in title, anyway, who has probably more of an emphasis on running the football in Denison.
So even though they have Andre Johnson and Kevin Walters and Owen Daniels, are they now run-first team?
Well, yeah. I mean, well, yes. Yes and no. I mean, they're still a passing team. But you can clearly tell that they are trying to achieve more balance, and they can do that, whereas in the past they would think about it. But in reality, it was just kind of a – it was kind of a courtesy thing. Let's try to have balance.
They're not going to run against the Jaguars.
They're going to try.
I think their emphasis is going to be on throwing the ball.
They're going to try.
Okay.
I really believe that they're going to try. And how much success they have, I don't know. But here's the kicker, and that Andre Johnson has been nicked. He's got an ankle. Owen Daniels is not Owen Daniels of years past. They still got 2 other very good wide receivers, so I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see the Texans come out as they did 2 years ago, I think it was, in 3 wide receivers and throw the ball around and run it in 3 wides. Mm-hmm. Because that will stress the Jaguars' defense.
Yeah, they're not a true tight end, inline tight end kind of team.
No, I mean, the tight ends are more receivers than they are blockers. So defensively, they're just terrible at corner. I mean, that's their biggest problem. They're okay at stopping the run. Pollard's pretty good in the box.
How do they only have 12 sacks with Mario Williams?
Because he's inconsistent. He'll drive you nuts.
He's got half of them. He's got six.
He drives me nuts anyway, because I mean, you sit there and you go, boy, if I had that talent when I played, you know, much like the Julius Peppers. I mean, Julius Peppers, I mean, you go, God, look at what he's got. And then you look at the results, and, you know, if you look at Mario's numbers, I mean, his numbers don't lie. I mean, he's right there with Aaron Kampman.
He hasn't played well against his team.
But
Mario?
Yeah.
No, he had one good game.
When he plays well, you go, oh, my God, he's just a man.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's just, is he playing?
Mm-hmm.
And that's Julius Peppers. You know, that's why I remember back in free agency, I made the comment that I'd take Aaron Kampman, even money, for Julius Peppers any day of the week.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get with Peppers,
because
you
not
always
consistent.
Know what you're going to get with Kampman.
That's right.
I've come to learn that.
And it's the same way with Mario Williams. You don't know what you're going to get.
Right.
How about a couple of games in the last 3 minutes that we have of the show around the NFL? What do you think about the Thursday night game tomorrow? Baltimore.
Good one.
Right, this could be a Super Bowl preview.
Good
it's
one.
Your Super Bowl preview.
It's my
not?
Super Bowl preview. These are the two teams that I picked before the season began.
Then looking at other games around the National Football League. Hey, the Jets at Cleveland is all of a sudden an interesting ball game.
Oh, absolutely. For the Ryans, you know, yeah. You got two Ryans against each other, and Braylon Edwards makes his controversial return.
Mangini.
Mm-hmm. That game's in Cleveland, right?
That game is at Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a Browns team that's beaten New England and New Orleans.
Well, I think the intriguing thing to me there is Colt McCoy. I mean, here's a guy that's talked about being cut, and all of a sudden now they think he's great.
He hasn't done that much, Jeff. They're doing
he's winning.
The running game.
He's winning.
Yeah, but... He's winning, you're right, but it's not because of him.
A couple of other games. Not a lot on the surface. There's that Baltimore-Atlanta game and the New England-Pittsburgh game, obviously, is the
Brett,
Sunday
by the
night
way,
game, and that's the creme de la creme.
Rex Ryan's going to be a head coach somewhere next year. Rob Ryan.
Rob Ryan.
Yeah.
Just anywhere. I mean, you don't have any thoughts on that.
Somewhere he's going to be a head coach.
Okay.
Because of what his brother's done?
I think because of that and because of what he's done in Cleveland. The players love him. I mean, players love him. And he's, you know, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Yes, Joe.
What about the McNabb-Eli matchup?
Yeah. Well, no.
No, it's McNabb-Vic.
Yeah.
This week? Who
yeah.
do the Giants have?
The Giants.
Oh,
have
they
the
have
Cowboys.
The Cowboys. That's right.
All right, turn your mic off.
Never mind.
This is Eagles-Redskins week?
Next week.
Yes. It's Eagles at Redskins. That's the Monday night game.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's strong. I like that. Yeah.
But you got Seattle at Arizona, St. Louis at San Francisco, and Kansas City at Denver, and Carolina at Tampa Bay. But here's one, and it's a divisional game, Tennessee at Miami.
I think this is real attractive. The only thing is that
the Bruiser Bowl.
Sperano is going back. He's benched Henny. He's going to Pennington, and the Titans will, I think they'll chew him up.
You guys ever see that beer commercial with the guy in the sunglasses in the bar?
Yeah, the Bud Light commercial.
I mean, every time I see that, I say, hey, there's Tony Sperano.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so I understand the basis of benching Henny. He's got to understand that he's got to stop throwing interceptions. And young quarterbacks have to be taught that lesson when they're young, and sometimes it has to be done in a harsh way. I know it was done that way with Bradshaw when I was a young reporter covering him, and he was on his way to a Hall of Fame career. He lost his job to Joe Gilliam, and he had to learn to stop throwing interceptions. You can't force it in. These guys with the great arms just think they can force it in all the time. And he's got to learn he can't do that. But I don't think that it's going to help them this week.
Here's a question for you. Who's their special teams coordinator in Miami?
Man, and that's why they lost in Baltimore. I mean, they had it happen again. Listen to this, Jeff.
Who is the guy there now?
I don't know.
It's their backup. It's their assistant. I mean, they just handed it off.
It was 4th and 15, and they're Baltimore was punting, and they left the gunner uncovered, and they threw a pass to him from the punter for a first down. That was the clincher.
That'll do it for the show, folks. Don't forget, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show at 10, kickoff at 1, right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Good night, everybody.